I'm very excited to welcome a special guest on Simply Folk. Joe Pugh is here in the Wisconsin Public Radio studio. Welcome, Joe.
Thanks for having us, Stephanie.
Well, we sure appreciate it. And let's start with some music right away. What would you like to start with?
This is off our first full-length album. It's called How Good You Are. The Christians left behind at the crossroads of your town. Oh, they're playing truth or dare with the sanctuary now. Some wish they had the truth, some wish they had to go. But there ain't no sense in leaving from the only game you. Oh, I know how good you are, how hard it is, how good you are. There's a butler in your hallway. He is troublesome and old. He repeats the word alive to describe your family goal. You ask him please to go, but there's one thing you don't know. He carved April 7th, 65 into the side of your piano. How good you are, how hard it is, how good you are. Everything that you were meant for, everything that you were born to do, does not need you to do it. Someone else was born to do it too. Like a half-grown man, you barely learn how to stand. If you shut up with what you're chosen, you'll hear something choosing you. How good you are, how hard it is, how good you are.
How Good You Are is the name of the song. Joe Pugh is the singer and the songwriter. And we're also listening to Matthew Schussler playing bass and Greg Tuohy playing the electric guitar. Those are lyrics that many, many people who have been listening to you for a while just relate to and love. That particularly that opening line that I was born into a circus. Mm-hmm. When did you first figure out you were a songwriter? How did that happen for you?
I tried to write songs when I was younger, when I was in bands like 14 and 15 years old. And that was like the first time that I really recognized how hard it was to write something and to create something. I'd always listened to these bands that I loved, and I would always play their songs, and I figured how hard could it be. And I remember being about 14 or 15 and sitting down with a guitar and a pen and paper, and it just really blowing my mind how difficult it actually was. And then I knocked around and I did some other things after that. I wrote plays for a while. I went to school for that. And I ended up coming back to songwriting. And I got to say that even 10, 15 years later, it's still just as hard as it ever was from when I first started.
To make it sound so simple but have such depth and such meaning.
Well, thanks. I think it can be really hard to write simple things, absolutely, because you run into the trap of you can write something really simple with no thought behind it whatsoever, and there's that. I really feel like listeners can sniff out. They're like sharks to blood when it comes to like something really simple that no thought has been put into,
yeah.
And they can just smell it, and it smells phony to them,
yep.
You know? And they wouldn't be able to tell you that. They'd just say, oh, I don't like that song, you know? But I firmly believe that if you want to really, if you really want to write the simple things, and you better have really thought about it, otherwise people are going to, you know, call you on it.
You mentioned that you went to school for writing plays. Has that informed your music? Has any of that work made its way into your songs?
Not really. Just the, you know, the amount of writing and the method of writing, I suppose I took from school, a fair amount that I live up to sometimes and certainly don't live up to other times. So.
Do you do writing besides lyrics, for instance, poetry or plays or just prose in any way?
No, I'm like a very, I am not prolific at all. I'm not, you know, sometimes I really wish that I was like that sort of, you know, a Renaissance-type character that was doing all that stuff, writing plays, writing a screenplay, writing an autobiography, all these different things. But I just have a really hard time just getting up the songs. And I also really, really enjoy putting all my creative energy into this one thing and just trying to be really good at one thing and not stressing myself out, worrying about trying to do other things, you know. I just want to just get one thing right, which is hard enough.
Well, you're obviously doing that. Your listener base and popularity is certainly growing, and you're doing a lot of touring, and you've just released a new CD, and that seems to be really well received.
Yeah, it's been very positively received by our fans, and it's a real treat to get to go out and play the new songs and have them singing along to those too.
Let's hear one of those. What would you like to do next?
This is the first song off of our new record. This is called Hymn 76. Ask me is to love with hesitation. My answer is the same as it has been. Here is my affection, no conditions and no questions.
open up the door and let me in. Open up the door and let me in. Dressed me is to travel past the towers. Those who make it back from here are few. It takes all your devotion to have courage for a moment. The world is best kept better men than you. Oh, the world is best kept better men than you. Love me is to sit upon the mountain. Every step is harder than the last. But to find the step above it is to triumph, is to summit. Taste the frigid water from the tap. Oh, taste the frigid water from the tap. Behind us is to misremember what was caused. For from the vacant cradle to the empty kitchen table, show me what was precious that was lost. Oh, I'm sorry that I said it, and I know it might be reckless. Oh, show me what was precious that was lost.
Hymn number 76, and that's from brand new release, a CD called The Great Despiser. I'm Stephanie Elkins. You're listening to Simply Folk, and my guest is Joe Pug, who is a singer-songwriter who has been in the Midwest and left the Midwest and has come back to the Midwest, and well, you've made a home now on the road for the most part, haven't you?
We play a lot. Yeah, we play this band of ours is on the road, 150 dates a year, a lot. Yeah.
What's your home base now?
I live in Austin, Texas now. I've been down there for about 2 years. My girlfriend and I moved down there, and when I'm there, I really like it. So.
Where were you born and raised?
I was born and raised in a town called Greenbelt, Maryland. It's right in between Baltimore and D.C. And it was actually built by the Civil Conservation Corps during Roosevelt's administration during the Depression. And it's a cool little city. It's like one of the first kind of planned communities. It has like a, you know, walking path throughout the whole town. And it has like a co-op market, a co-op housing system. So much co-op action, actually, that McCarthy took him to the Supreme Court on charges of communism in the 50s.
No
so,
kidding.
Yeah, I come from a town that's as pink as it comes, that's
pretty
for sure.
Pretty progressive.
Yeah.
Now, you've spent some time in Chicago, right?
I got my start playing music in Chicago. Yeah, I moved there when I was about 22, and I lived there for about 5 years.
Why'd you come to Chicago?
It was as simple as I had a friend that was living there, and I had visited him, and I really fell in love with the city. It was like early fall, and, Chicago is a romantic city, and it's especially a romantic city in the fall, and it's, I'm not the only person that's fallen in love with it in that way and decided I had to be there.
It has a pretty thriving music scene as well.
Yeah, I suppose it does, and it has a musical history and musical pedigree. You know, you got John Prine and Steve Goodman came out of there, who are both, just luminaries in my world, in my life, in my musical constellation. So, yeah.
You've been compared to John Prine, to Tom Waits, to Bob Dylan, and you're still so young, though, and you're writing all these deep and meaningful songs. Do you think how old were you when you started writing some of these songs?
I was about 22, and I don't know. I feel like when you're young, that's like your real shot to write really sweeping, deep, generalizing songs. Because the older that you get, I find, you know, you're less willing to. If you're being honest with yourself, you're less willing to make those sweeping statements and those grand statements. So I'm just trying to squeeze out as many more of those those big ones as I can.
Before you get too cynical? Or?
Well, not too cynical, just, you know, the more things you see, the more qualifications you got to put in every statement, to be honest with yourself, I suppose.
Speaking of amazing songwriters, you shared the stage and toured a little with Levon Helm.
We did. That was... in the last year of his life, we played with him a few times, and that was, for me, and I think I can speak for Greg and Matt as well, that was certainly like a career highlight for all of us, and just a really special moment. One of those things where you're like, well, if everything falls apart tomorrow and I got to pick up a broom at a Dairy Queen or something, you know, if everything really hits the fan, you know, no one can take that away from us. We got to do that, you know, and to be a part of one of his shows and to get on stage with him and sing a song. And, you know, that can't be taken away. That happened.
Yeah.
Know,
so. Well, I have a friend, actually a relative, who was in the audience for one of those shows and said it was almost like the passing of the torch from, you know, the older generation to the new songwriter. It was a profound and powerful experience for him.
It was a profound experience for us as well. You know, Levon was, you know, he was very, he seemed very kind of frail towards the end, but, and he seemed that way off stage. I didn't get to hang with him too much, obviously, because he had some health issues. But, man, you'd see him off stage, and he looked looked very frail, and then he'd get on stage and he'd just light up for those 2 hours that he was on stage. And it was very inspiring to see someone who toured to the end of his life, surrounded by this band that he loved and that loved him, surrounded by his daughter Amy and his grandchildren. And it was cool.
Great. Well, let's have another song. I think we're going to hear another one from your new CD. Is that right?
That's right. This is called A Gentle Few.
Welcome home, my son. It's been so very long. I know that you're here to surrender disappointing days I suffered at your age were more than I'd care to remember. Before you throw the towel and turn your engines out, don't expect to spit all that you've tasted from your mouth. After all you've seen, the most you hope to be is pretending to be a pretender. The years that I've been through, I met a gentle few who said that they love and they mean it. The others that I met, they're decent folks, I guess, but all that they love is achievement. The swagger and the dress, the trappings of success, the butter and the milk of what it takes to get ahead. Any given night, you'll catch them dead to rights, painting their name on the ceiling. Remember in the end that many of your friends would rather be dead than uncertain. They want a simple yes, or even better yet, a promise the next life is perfect. A promise that it's not, then what have they got? Only 50 years, they never gave a moment's thought. Anyone they find who tells them otherwise, they'll follow him backwards and shirtless. Welcome home, my son. It's been so very long. I know that you're here to surrender.
Gentle Few. What a gorgeous song. Powerful.
Thank you.
And nice to hear it. That one was all acoustic, just starting with your six-string guitar, and then Greg joined you, and then the bass came in. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Nice arrangement.
Thank you very much.
Now, you started, I think some of the earlier recordings that I've heard are mostly pretty simple guitar, acoustic guitar, harmonica, that kind of thing, and this one has a little more production on it. Are you moving in a different direction, or just kind of experimenting, or...?
Well, I think there's definitely, there's a band on the new album, and we definitely fleshed a lot of the songs out, but I think it's still firmly in the same tradition that the first album was, and, I think, honestly, if I'd had the time and the resources and the ability, I think I would have done the first record the same way, too. I was completely broke when I made the first one. I didn't know anyone. I didn't really know how to play my instrument. Didn't really know how to sing. And so I just kind of tried to figure it out. And but I really don't see it as a new direction.
You got started with kind of a unique business model at a time when the music industry was really shifting from the way it does business. And you still, to this day, are giving away music for free on your website right now. People can go and download 5 songs, I think it is, for free. What was that about? How did that start?
Well, I mean, it's just part of the new, it's the new music economy. That's what it is. I didn't invent the circumstances under which it was birthed. This is certainly an invention, that's just a product of necessity, music is, and I say this without any, moral attachments to it, but it literally has been devalued, for what people are willing to pay for it, and there's some good things to that, there's some bad things to that, but at this point it just kind of is what it is, and, we always figured we wanted there to be very few barriers for people to hear the music for the first time. Wanted to make it very easy if they wanted to give it a shot. And they could either like it or not like it, but we didn't want too much standing in their way. And I think certainly, cost, price, is one of those barriers that you often have control over, and you can remove it if you decide to do so.
And I think when you first started, you were actually sending out physical CDs for free. Is that right?
Yeah. We had this, we called it the sampler program, and people who liked the music, who wanted to share it with friends, they'd write in with they'd give us their home address and how many CDs they wanted to pass out to friends, and we would, at our own expense, send them, a package with that many CDs in it, and it really, it basically, our fans were broadcasting us. They were like our radio station almost, they were broadcasting to people who they knew would like it. And, it made a really big difference. It was a special time when we were first doing that.
Yeah, very grassroots. You were giving them the tools that they needed to do that broadcasting. And you still are on the website. By the way, I'll mention it one more time, but your website is Joe Pug Music, and that's J-O-E-P-U-G musicalltogether.com. And there's a lot of information there, not to mention those free downloads.
Yeah. We've still got, you know, a free five-song sampler that you can download there, and you can share it with friends as well. And, you know, we travel the country a lot, and we see a lot of the same faces at shows, and we really look at it as, you know, a small community that just kind of follows what we do as a band and as a songwriter. And I know that it really fills us up, and we really, we always look forward to new faces under the tent, that's for sure.
It's like that in the folk community. People just really connect to the music emotionally, connect to the message, connect to the performers, and it is very much a community and very much a tent.
Yeah, you know, and it's fun to have an audience that you can have a conversation with, you know.
Yeah. Let's hear another song. What would you like to close with?
This is called The Great Despiser. Beside her, I hope
is another powerful song.
Thank you.
It's called The Great Despiser, and it's the title track from the new CD from Joe Pug. Joe, this is being taped in advance, and from here you head to Australia. What's next for you?
I suppose I'll spend the next couple months starting to write again and starting to fill myself up again and get ready to go in and record an album. Why not?
Sounds like a plan. Yeah. Great. Well, thank you very, very much for coming in and sharing your time and your talent with the Wisconsin Public Radio listeners. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having us. Thank you.
Public radio listeners like you a lot. College towns like you a lot.
Well, I hope so. Thank you.
You can find more information at joepugmusic.com, and I have put up a link to Joe's site on our Facebook page at facebook.com/simplyfolk, or you can find a link at simplyfolk.org. We heard from Joe Pug and also Matthew Schussler, who was playing bass, and Greg Tuohy played both electric guitar and acoustic guitar. Thank you all very, very much for coming.